Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom, and we're talking about fathers, fathers of the earth, fathers that we should not be praying to for our daily bread, but fathers that will exercise authority, fathers such as the fathers of the Pharisees, which was Satan, the adversary of God, doing things contrary to the ways of God. And what are the ways of God? The ways of God are love, faith, hope, charity, the perfect law of liberty. Do you know anybody who says that they're your father or the father of your children that does not operate by faith, hope, and charity, but operates by force and control? Well, that's the father of Satan and the child of Satan and the servant of Satan, because that's the father of the earth that you're not to be calling any man. It's that simple. You have been so far down in the pit, so much in the blackness, that you cannot even see that a voluntary society is possible. Did you know that throughout man's history, according to historians, the most predominant form of government of mankind has been voluntary systems? That voluntarily people pay in to help the needy. People voluntarily pay in to the defense of the people. They voluntarily do what is necessary to support the health of the community. That's the most predominant form of government throughout the history of mankind. But there's a modern aberration of another kind of government that is so pervasive you can't even imagine a voluntary society operating by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. And that's the kingdom of God, the right to be ruled by God. Those people, if they were around, would have the right to be ruled by God. But you're not one of those people, probably, so you probably don't have the right to be ruled by God. You have the right to be ruled by the fathers of the earth. And I said in the last show, it's as simple as that old thing that we used to hear on the TV. If you're going to eat at my table, boy, you're going to live by my rules. That's it. If you're going to eat at the table of men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other, then you're going to live by their rules. And they're going to be able to take your sons and daughters. That's why they can take Justina. Because you're just complaining about Satan being a little totalitarian. That's all. He's all about that. Of course, you're all about that too. Don't you realize that when you eat at the table of these rulers, you're eating at the table of he who has an evil eye, a covetous eye? You have said, "Master, will you take from my neighbor to set my table? To put great benefits before me, delightful dainties before me, will you take from my neighbor with the power of your arm, their right arm? Will you take from them so that my table will be full and plentiful of benefits?" Everybody who goes to public school, everybody who signs their kids up for public school, that's what they're doing. They're saying, I paid in, and so therefore I have a right to it. Because I pay in. Average educational cost for one student, $10,000 a year. Do you pay $10,000 a year in educational taxes? Taxes that go to education? If you don't, somebody else has to pick up that slack. But you don't care about them as much as you care about what you want. And so therefore you do it. It's fine. It's okay. I just go to public school. It's free. You see? So you don't really love your neighbor as much as yourself. You don't love your neighbor as much as you love your benefits. Wow. you're not a Christian. You're not following Christ. That means that no matter what you say, you're not a doer of the word. Oh my gosh, that means you're not saved. That's right. You're not saved. You don't like that? Well, that's too bad. That's just the way it is. You're not saved. You imagine that you are. You said the magic words. And you think going to church is all about relationships and fellowship. But has your church worked diligently every time it comes together to help and seek out people who would like to or willing to try to homeschool their children but are afraid to start? I met a pretty decent family, pretty good family, sucked in by this modern reality of false Christianity. But I think that they're actually pretty, you know, they're pretty down-home people, not far from the kingdom, but don't understand it. And they were contemplating homeschooling their children, and they thought they couldn't do it. They believed some of the lies about homeschooling. Well, we were worried that they would be, you know, socially restricted. Well, not if everybody was doing it. Everybody used to do it. Yeah, you hear about schools back in the 1800s and stuff like that. Kids would go there. That was just to boost their education. Most of their study was still at home. You know, Abe Lincoln, you know, studying by the firelight of the fireplace. That's at home. Most of the study should be at home. And we're not saying that as homeschoolers you couldn't get together and challenge one another and encourage one another and see how one another's learning and share information. That's still a good idea. But when you get together, you pay the bill. You eat at the table of righteousness. Stop forcing your neighbor to pay for that. Yeah, you pay in. You don't pay in enough. I would have had to pay in $60,000 a year for my six kids. I paid in what they required, but I educated my kids at home. And I didn't ask for the benefits from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. I did not pray for my daily bread or assistance to men who called themselves fathers of the earth. They are the human fathers of the earth. The fathers of the humus. But anyway, so how do you get into this system where you become subject and your children become subject and they can take your children like they did with Justina, imprisoned her for 14 months with no explanation from the judge as to why he can do this? Doesn't need one. It's already in the law. Mr. Stauber should know that. They're claiming the right of parens patria. He's trying to make Satan's system work. He's got to realize that's Satan's system. I know he can make a lot of money doing that as an attorney. And if he started telling you how it really works, he'd be out of a job. He beats around the bush. We quote him in some of our documents, our church documents. Because he's right about a lot of things, but he doesn't take it far enough. There's other preachers, and I won't mention any names, that are not far from the kingdom, but they got to realize, if your church is not working daily to help people so they no longer have to eat at the table of Satan, the table of men who exercise authority one over the other, if that is not your primary goal, to set the table of the Lord so that no one has to go and eat at the table of Satan, the adversary to God, and the adversary to the ways of God, then you're not a church. You're not doing the work of Christ. You're taking your hand from the plow. You don't like that? Too bad. I'm telling you right now. You need to repent. You need to start telling your congregation we have to get off of the government dole, off of public education, off of health care, off of Social Security. Still have to pay your taxes. You still have to pay your tally of bricks. But you have to start looking to one another. The Amish were exempt from the health care thing. Why? Because they're doing that. You're not. You shouldn't be exempt. But if you start doing it, God will hear you. If you start serving in your Father's house, you know, that's what the word worship means. You know, some of the time the word worship is translated from one Greek word, and sometimes you see the word worship translated from another Greek word, which is where you get the word liturgical, which means service. The word they use, it kind of literally means to lick the hand, but it really means to service. And if you're not actually providing a service at your church, I mean a real service, helping people so they no longer have to sit at the table of kings, that's good. But that isn't what I see going on in churches. I see feel-good churches. Big screen TV, great sound system, gonna make you feel all touchy-feely inside before you go home churches. I don't see anybody preaching the gospel of the kingdom, gospel of responsibility, the gospel of charity. I don't see them preaching that. Token stuff. Anyway, is verbal consent the only way we may be subjected to those who are exercising authority one over the other? If we take from or damage others, we may incur an obligation to make amends. If we refuse to pay for what we have damaged or taken, it is reasonable to compel recompense. You know, if you wanted to join the mafia, they're going to try to get you to commit a crime. They'll give you a job where you commit a crime because they got you. And that's all the government does. It gets you to commit a crime. What crime do they get you to commit? You don't have to raise your hand. Just blurt it right out and we'll see if you get the right answer. What crime do the governments of the world, the fathers of the earth, get you to commit in order to bind your soul to their will? Everybody answer? Did you say covet? Yeah, that's a crime. Desiring what belongs to your neighbor. Desiring to force your neighbor to contribute to your public education, your health care, your welfare, your social security, anything. Desiring to force them to contribute is coveting. And if you covet, you will go into bondage. And you will stay in bondage until you repent. Now, how do you repent of coveting? You have to start giving away that which you have. Not so much that you're starving. We don't want you starving in the streets. But we want you to start devoting your time and your energy and your resources to freeing other people. Go back to your Father's house with the intention of being a servant. If you don't do that, the Father will not run out and meet you. And the reality is you're going to need the Father to come out and meet you. You're going to need the divine intervention of the Father for what's coming. And there's nothing I can do about that. That's just the way it is. So you need to really start getting serious about repentance. So anyway, if we take from someone else or damage somebody else, then we may be required, we may go under an obligation of recompense by the state. And if they decide to take your children, they will. And they do. Besides these two reasonable ways of creating subjecting authority over our bodies and even our minds, there is still another system clearly sanctioned and even promoted by God the Father in heaven. And if you read in Malachi 2:10, it says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us?" Well, originally, that prior right we were talking about in the last show, yeah, that prior right that was created by God That's still out there. You just don't have access to it anymore because you've gone whoring after other gods. And you need to repent of that. And you need to go the other way. And the other way requires that you have to start caring about others as much as you care about yourself. Can you do that? Are you willing to do that? Do you know how to do that? Can you do that on your own? Well, no, you're going to have to do that together with others. Now, when we talk about this prior rite, you can go all the way back to the Anaititishus, which were the ancient equivalent to the modern words and phrases. It was a kind of an expression of law. It was an ancient code preserving Sumerian family laws. Not only is the first government based on the family and ordained by God, but all government is based on the precept of what family is, or should be, according to these laws. And those words and phrases concerning family were simply an expression of the power of the father, the natural father, and the natural mother, over the destiny and care and provision of the child. And that's the prior right. But if you eat at my table, you got to go by my rules. You see? So the family is also the first government in the life of the child, with the father as the God-ordained head of the household, and his government under God as the child's basic government. That was actually written by Rush Dooney. Law and Liberty. That's where it started. But that's not where we're at today. In the great domestic relationship of husband and wife, if you read in Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law, which is right there. Actually, it's actually up here on my desk at this time. And I wasn't reading out of it today, but I haven't put it back yet since I was reading out of it. But it's one of the basic fundamental books of law. It's one of the first law books that I picked up and really began, you know, other than business law and stuff in college, to read and to understand law. And I came across a chapter called Domestic Relations, and under it was a section called Husband and Wife. And talks about husband, the wife, the rights of the husband, rights of the wife, at natural law, at common law. And then there was another section, marriage, and it was talking about the rights of the husband and rights of the wife. The word husband and wife were no longer capitalized. This was a different relationship because the remedies were different. And that's where you are at. And if you don't understand that, go read the book Covenants of the Gods, because you've made lots of covenants with them. You didn't just eat at the table. You've been making written agreements with them for a long time. And now you have to keep those agreements. I'm not telling you to rebel. I'm not about rebelling. I'm about trying to get you to stop rebelling against God, to start caring about one another as much as Christ cared about you, that he would lay down his life that you might be saved, which requires that you repent and become a doer of the word. You're not going to be saved because you do X amount of work. But if you're not even going to start the work, then you haven't really repented. You're still working in the pig house. So anyway. So family is the first government, and all governments are designed after the family. This is why the Emperor of Rome was called Our Father, Patronus, and all the senators were called Patri, and why Jesus said, call no man on earth Father, because this will lead to your destruction. Because you will not be able to live by God's rules, you'll have to live by His rules, which is God's rules. If you eat at His table, Now you know how the governments are ordained. They are ordained to punish the wicked, the covetous, the workers of iniquity, who become members of those governments. Apply to them. pray to them for benefits. And it's so hard for some people to wrap around because, you know why? Because it requires humility. They have to admit, oh my gosh, we screwed up. We made a mistake. We went the wrong way. We're not following the ways of Christ. He said, concerning the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, it was not to be that way with us. How many people think they're Christians and go to men who exercise authority and pray for their benefits at the expense of their neighbor? You can't do that and be a Christian. You can't say you're following Christ and go the opposite direction he said to go. So anyway, if you want to know more about husband and wife, capital husband, capital wife, and the natural law, go read Holy Matrimony versus Marriage and find out what that is really all about. The family is God's sanctioned government. That was, at first, the only government that God sanctioned. He did sanction a government that operates according to the perfect law of liberty, where the government is in the hands of the individual people. The power of the state is in the hands of the individual people. Not as a democracy where you can take away the rights of your neighbor, but as a republic where the responsibility is entirely in your hands, and the people you elect are paid by free will offerings to help bring the people together as a nation through a network of benefaction based on love. You see, Judge Joseph in the Justina case, he doesn't have to love Justina. He just has the power to take her away from the parents. Oh, he'll justify it in his own mind, I'm sure. But it's all about power with him. It's all about control. Do you have any idea what his family life is like? What's happening with his children right now? You probably don't. Probably be considered a crime if you tried to find out. Because he might feel threatened by that. But he isn't the problem. You're the problem. 10 people show up and protest at the hospital. 10 people. Maybe 20 at tops. How embarrassing for Massachusetts. It's headed for absolute destruction. I know people in Massachusetts that are staying there thinking, you know, they're going to set things right. But they're not following the ways of Christ. That's the only way. I mean, we've never had a world so much in bondage as we do today. From one end, there is no free nations left. There are no free people left in all the world as recognized nations. They just don't exist anymore. There is no frontier. There is no crossing the Red Sea, not physically. But spiritually, you need to. And it means you have to repent. You have to turn around. In the law of the Latins, the Romans, the word potestas signifies generally the power or authority by which we do anything. Patria potestas, the father's power, signifies the authority which a father had over his children, his grandchildren, and other descendants. There was an almost absolute power over the child by the father, as there also is at the common law. If we go back, there are several common laws, but the original common law. This was not based on ownership as a slave, but as a member of a familia, in which the status of the father would affect the status of the son. An act by which the patria potestas was terminated is called emancipatio, or emancipation. So the power of the father could be terminated by this emancipation. This was a big thing to the Romans, so they devised a standard that is still used to this day in law. I mean, basically, you're under Roman law in most governments of the world. So that standard holds up. It actually holds up quite a bit in the law of nature as far as jus naturale and jus gentium, that you can terminate your power as the father if you meet three criteria. And we're going to go through those three criteria and explain more how this works. And it's going to take several shows, but we're going to take you and we're going to reveal some of the secret workings and mysteries of the law that you probably won't get from an attorney. You're going to get it here because we're going to fire all cannons before we're done with this topic. Be right back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So anyway, we're talking about the pater familias, the father of the family. The family was a political unit in a free society. It was the natural unit of mankind, a man and a woman and their children. From that, society is born. That is the reproducing agency of society. And if men are not cattle, then the family produces the family's children. The children belong to the family. If they are a herd that belongs to a master, then the children belong to the master, and the husband and wife are allowed to raise them as long as the master wants. If he thinks they will not do a good job, he will take them off, the children off of the father and mother, and either graft them onto another. We've had sheep that didn't have milk, couldn't produce milk, and we took their lambs away from them. And we put those lambs on to a mother that will produce the milk and raise the child, the lamb or the calf. And we do that, and it works pretty good. If we feed them if we take them away from the ewes entirely and put them as what we call bummer lambs, and we feed them, several times a day, and we feed them whole milk, and sometimes even sheep milk that we milk out, they will not do as well. They simply will not do as well as if they were on their mothers, because that is the natural thing. So society does the same thing, because mankind has become a herd. It has become not a herd unto itself, but a herd that is owned. And that's why you're registered under the agricultural department. That's why the census is run through the agricultural department. I was talking to a census worker once, and I says that you're just counting livestock. And I says, I get my check from the agricultural department. Yeah. Just count livestock. Human resources, part of the herd. And the question is, who owns that herd now? But anyway, back to this pater familias. The family was and is a political unit. Within what they called the manu of the family, neither the wife nor the husband could use each other, for they could sue each other, for they are counted as one person, one body. Now, people do that all the time. They sue husband and wife now, but that's not capital husband, capital wife. That's this other domestic relationship that you find in Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law, with different remedies, which are usually listed as remedies in equity, because it's not the natural family relationship. And this is one of the problems that you see with some of those outfits that we were talking about in the previous show, about getting them in past and prior rights of the parents and all this kind of stuff. They're mixing natural law with equity. And equity winks at the law. It follows the law, but it is not the law. It is the law of contract. And if you have this law of contract, somebody gets the power to decide what is reasonable, what is not reasonable. And that is not the pater familias of the natural law. That is a domestic relationship under equity. Different kind of relationship entirely. But maybe we're getting too complicated for some of you. Some of you might be following along. And of course, you can read all this in articles and documents that we have on the internet at hisholychurch.org. And now we actually have a page up at Preparing You that has some of this material. But anyway, in Genesis, way back at the beginning, Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That this is the first corporation. Two or more people gathered together as one person, one flesh, for a particular purpose, under a pre-existing authority, which is the authority of God. So it's not we don't call it a corporation, we call it a familias, a family. And this was the building unit of God's government, is that family. And they talk about, therefore shall a man leave his father. For this cause you shall leave your father and your mother. And you should do it with permission, because you're still part of this family unit. And that permission should be frank permission, where your father says, okay, you can get married, and you have my blessing. And then now you become this separate unit, still connected in a voluntary way with your father. You still should be honoring your father, which actually the word there means to fatten. You should be tithing to your father, and your father should be tithing to some sort of national minister for the support of the community. Because for a family to be really a righteous family, it has to care about the next family as much as it cares about its own. You have to honor your father as long as he lives, and you have to, and your father as well, should care about the next family unit as much as you care about your own. Because that family unit is one person in God's kingdom, one flesh in God's kingdom. It goes on to say, the child is bound within this manu of the family, this unit. The manu is a Latin word for the power of the pater familias over his wife and his sons and his family. And even in its prior history, the manu as a Sanskrit word meant the primordial father of the human race and the sovereign of the earth. These concepts fundamentally reach into the antiquities of man's history and are only supplanted by the twisted thoughts of an usurping substitute for God's plan. So this original, in God's kingdom, this family is the king. The head of the family is the king. People say, oh, well, you know, but you get abusive fathers. Well, you get abusive governments. And what happens is that very few abusive fathers invade other nations, bomb other nations, destroy whole nations, murder hundreds of thousands, even millions of people. They may abuse their children, but that will be their own disservice, because those children will not care for those fathers when they grow up. And those fathers will pay the price, and other fathers will see that. But in modern society, you can abuse for decades, whole nations, violate whole nations, whole peoples within your own nation, exterminate them by the millions. You can do that if you're a government, if you're the father of a nation. And you see, so Cain designed his city-state after the concept of the family. But he was the father of that nation. Nimrod did the same thing. Eventually, Pharaoh did the same thing, and Caesar did the same thing. And almost every government today plays the role of father, and therefore can take your children from you, because you're little more than livestock. Don't like to hear that? Well, then go back to your ear ticklers and see where that gets you. You know, that's just the way it is. Some might think it oppressive that a patriarch would have such power and authority within his given family. But is it any more desirable to be oppressed by a tribal or national group? Governments that eat out the substance of men, as it talks about in the Declaration of Independence, in peace, and march millions of minions to murderous deaths in wars, cannot be superior to the benevolent master, to that of our natural parent. You know, even bad parents often love their children more than the government. But the reality is, this system of social welfare breeds bad parents. Like the two parents who, they put their infant child literally wasted away while they played video games in the house. They didn't say they wasted away while the parents went to work. They weren't going to work. They didn't need to go to work. They were on government subsistence. They were getting a government check. I told in not too long ago in one of the programs that we did about a local family that they're not married, because if they get married, then he may be held responsible for the child. He can't work because he gets headaches if he has to concentrate. But he plays video games all day. He runs around, does anything he wants. He's getting a check. She's getting a check. She's getting also aid to raise the child. And she's pregnant again. And you created that system. It's insane that you're doing this, and you think you're going to get a good society out of that. You think those children are going to be raised up with values, work ethic. Not going to happen. And you're doing this by the millions. We just did a show not too long ago about New Zealand's welfare system. Went from 15,000 people on it to 118,000 people on it. Was it 180,000 people on it? Can't even remember. The jump was big enough. Because they took away the moral means test. And originally, the government only supplemented. This is how it starts. They supplemented existing charities. That's a foot in the door. Don't do that. You don't even want to be supplemented. And if your church is not providing all the social welfare for its congregation, your church is not yet Christ's church. It has a lot to do to be a doer of the word. God dispersed dominion among the fathers of mankind. This is the separation of powers that you really want. The idea of separation of powers, it began with God. He separated the powers. Each father is father of his family only. In a democracy, you have a common purse of rights. And we know that the Bible tells us the common purse runs towards death, runs towards evil. So the reality is that is the separation of power in God's kingdom. Each family is a manu unit itself. In that family, they have a right called the Imperium, which is the exercise. We'll get to that in a little bit. So God disperses dominion amongst the fathers of mankind. Even with Jesus, he established no office of father to rule man in mass. A child is within that power until the father releases him or is released from life itself. There is no right of usurpation by any to take a child away from the father. But then again, if you go back to the original statement that we were making, that we were reading, right out of court rulings of the United States, you're not the father. That's it. The state is the father. In other words, the state is the father. I'm quoting. And mother of the child and the natural parents are not entitled to custody except by their benefit. And that's come about because you haven't been doing what Christ said. And your churches aren't doing what the early church did. And you have rejected God in all that you do. Maybe because of the lack of knowledge. But now you're getting the knowledge, and now you got a choice. Now you can start gathering together and start seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let me give you another quote here. The child is incapable in his private rights of any power or dominion. In every other respect, he is capable of legal rights. Now, what does that mean? What is he telling us there? The child has a capacity for acquiring legal rights. He could acquire by contract, for instance, but everything that he acquires is acquired for his father. Without emancipation, the father was not free of his father's power and was also not sui juris. As long as your father lived, you couldn't be sui juris, which is meaning in possession of your rights. And I'll give you an example that may be a little bit of an understanding of how the law worked, and we'll go to Mark Twain. Remember in Tom Sawyer, they find the gold hidden in the cave, and they want to know who gets that gold. Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer, both find it. So theoretically, Huck Finn has got a right to it. But if Huck Finn gets it, his father gets it. Even though his father's not supporting him or anything, his father gets it. And that's an important thing to remember in the natural law. If the state is your father, it doesn't have to support you. It doesn't have to feed you. It can starve you. And it can still eat you and control you because it's your father. And if you step out of line, it can throw you in a concentration camp. It could make you work until you're dead because it's your father. That's a lot of power. I mean, if you're going to produce children, I mean, how many children could you produce in a lifetime? I mean, at least with one wife, there's a limit. Even with multiple wives, there's a limit. And I can tell you this, if you don't take care of them, they could turn on you. But we have it now that states, you know, like Russia, took away all the grain in the Ukraine, even the seed grain, and the people just starved. By the thousands, they starved and died. They were piling them up like cordwood. But, you know, of course they call it Mother Russia, but it's the same thing. They're the parent, parens patria. And the fact is, in the law of nature, these laws actually exist. So who owns you, baby? And who owns you? Does he love you? If you want God to own you, you have to go and return to your father's house with the intention of serving your father's purposes. You don't go to your father's house to be saved. You go to your father's house to be served. That's a key element. Now, salvation may be in the back of your mind, but in the forefront of your mind and mouth should be that I have come to serve. That's what the prodigal son was doing. Did you miss that part? This Latin word that are being used, like sui, meaning of one's own, and juris, meaning right, what is just, right, and fair. That's what sui juris means, what is just, right, and fair. Sui juris is one who is capable of managing one's own affairs. Well, obviously, most of the Americans and most people in the world today are not capable of managing their own affairs because they have to eat at the table of the king to even educate their own children, even though the Bible tells us, you know, fathers, teach thy sons. You said, well, I don't want to do that. I want the father in Washington to teach our sons. In our webpage, we have a video there that is a recording of a famous radio announcer, and also he had a newspaper column, and he did this story every year since the 60s, which is Paul Harvey. And in it, he talks about what the devil would do, and you should listen to that. And note the part where he says, until we pray, our Father who art in Washington. He's been saying that since the 60s, and you guys ain't getting it. You're still praying to your father. You see, and that's how you get emancipated from your natural father, and your natural father emancipated from his rights, from his prior right, is by taking benefits. So now that you know that, the entire mission of your church is so that no one in your congregation has to eat at the table of the fathers of the earth. And if your congregation doesn't want to make that happen and work daily, diligently, even lowering their own life standard, their economy, in order to see that other people don't have to eat at the table of kings. If they're not doing that, they're not seeking the kingdom of God. And God will note that. He's not going to run out and meet you in your hour of need. He's not even going to hear you. Even if you don't go to the fathers of the earth, He's not going to hear you, because you sent your brothers to the fathers of the earth because you didn't want to share what you had. That spirit has to die in you. That unsharing, unforgiving spirit has to die in you. You want to starve the beast? Starve the beast in you. Pay your tally of bricks. Take care of one another. Even if you have to lower your standard of living to do it. That is the spirit that will get you through the days ahead. And you need to gather with others who have that spirit in them. Goes on to say, only the patriarchs of the family is sui juris. The first civil government based their civil powers on the law of the family. The individual citizens would be able to acquire legal rights by contract, but would not be sui juris. In other words, in the civil government, the state is your father. That is the design. And the next section was vicarius pater, and I don't think we'll be able to get through it. It's a pretty long section, but you can read all this on the website. But really what you need to do more than anything else is repent and start going back to the ways of Christ. And so we encourage everybody to go to thelivingnetwork.org, thelivingnetwork.org, which will take you to Preparing You. And I say that so that Preparing You is preparingyou.com. And you'll click on the links to do with network. And you'll see different states there, and you join those different email groups. Or you can go find, there's a thing called a personal contact minister, PCM. And they have their phone numbers there. You can call them up and start connecting and forming congregations of record that are actually going to diligently work and seek to take care of one another. And I know this is you got to start with baby steps. Now you have a direction. Now you know what the kingdom of God looks like. Looks like people living by the perfect law of liberty, caring for one another as much as they care for themselves. That's what it looks like. If you're not doing that, you're probably not saved. You haven't repented yet. And you're going to meet new people. Some of them will be really good, and some of them probably not so good. But everyone who's not so good, that gives you an opportunity for forgiveness. Hey, they're making it so that you can be forgiven now if you forgive them. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so this is your opportunity to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But I mean, it's going to take some midnight oil, some getting up early, some extra work. You're going to have to come to church with your sleeves rolled up, ready to do service. And you will not be saved by works, but your works are evidence of your repentance. And the difficulty of putting your shoulder to that plow, sounds like work, putting your shoulder to the plow, that difficulty will awaken you to where you need a little more repentance. Repentance is a process. So until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Thank you.